Go ahead and lift your hands one more time. You can clap them too, but lift them first. Lift your hands, give the Lord praise. I mean, give it to Him, give it to Him, give it to Him, give it to Him. Give it to Him. Give Him the praise. Come on. Bring an offering. Come before the Lord. Bring an offering before Him. The Word says, come before Me. Bring an offering. Worship Me. The offering God wants is the offering that you are. So you can't say, I don't have what He wants. And you can't say, well, I'm not worthy, because He already knew that. But you can say, He is, and the life I now live in this body, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not only His faith, but my faith towards who He is. And that becomes His faith. By the faith of the Son of God. And it's such an honor. It's an honor to you, and it's an honor to me. It's an honor to all of us to be able to come before God and say thank you. To be able to acknowledge that He's God. Do you know what a gift that is? To be able to simply acknowledge that God is so God. And I know that. The Creator of the heavens, all the host of heavens, all the earth, everything above it, on it, in it, under it. We get to know that God. And not only do we get to know Him, but He created you so you could. And not just so you could know about Him, but so you could know Him. And not just so you could know Him, but so you could imitate Him. You could impersonate Him. But more than that, you could be impressed by Him and the very impression of who He is. So He created us, the Word tells us in Genesis, in His image and in His likeness. And then He gave you dominion in the earth. How many feel like you have dominion in the earth? Really? You know, you kind of wonder sometimes, do we feel like we have dominion, or do we remember that He said He made us and gave us dominion? Are you really aware of dominion? How do you get that? How do you get dominion? What is that? In Acts 1:8, the Word says, Jesus is speaking, and He said, you know, it's not given to you to know when what is happening, when the Son of Man makes Himself known. But He said, I'll tell you what you will know. I'll tell you what I am going to give you. He said, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come on you. And He said, and then you're going to bear witness. And how do we bear witness? And what does the Holy Spirit do when He comes on you? I want you to lift your hands one more time and say, God, I just surrender to who you are. I surrender to who you are. I surrender to everything that you are. I surrender to the understanding. Pray this. I surrender to the understanding that I am alive. I am born. I'm created. And I'm born again to bear the very likeness of your Word, your will, your presence, and your power. To be empowered by your Spirit. God, for it, I thank you. I praise you. I love you. I worship you. I'm yours. Say, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. And you are my God. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout. Get excited. Take your seat. The Word says, for as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and it does not return, but it waters the earth, making it bring forth sprouts, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it will accomplish It will accomplish that which I purpose. And it shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. The word that goes out of the mouth of the Lord. The word that goes out of the mouth of the Lord. The moment that you hear the word of the Lord, whether you read it on a page, you hear someone speak the word, minister the word, the moment that you hear the word of God, whether it's read off of the pages of the Bible or prophetically or through a message or however you hear it in the song, the moment that you hear the word of the Lord, you become responsible for the word you've heard. The moment you hear it, you are responsible for it. And here's what's so great about that, is that you are allowed to be responsible. You're allowed to be responsible. I mean, we're not talking about a God, we're talking about the God. And those words can fall short. In your mind, they might be diminutive in the sense that it just, he's God and he's great, but if you don't have that continuity, if that doesn't just plug in and make a connection with you, it sounds like words. But great and mighty, I love the scripture that says, this God, my God, this God, this God that created all this, but not just this God, my God, his way is perfect. This God, my God, his way is perfect. If you really know him, you serve him. If you really love him, you obey his word. And the word says that his word is not weighty, it's not heavy, it's not burdensome. Religion tells you that it's difficult. Religion tells you that it's hard. But the living word says, I am not burdensome to you, because the moment that you hear me, you become responsible for me. Which means you get to carry it. That's an honor to hear the word of the Lord. Imagine a generation or a nation or a people or someone that really has never heard the word with any kind of conviction. The word calls it being hardened in your heart. Ever learning yet not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And all these things that God says to us. How amazing to hear the word of God. How incredible to hear a prophetic word. There may be some in the house or some that are viewing today and you've heard a prophetic word and you thought, it just hasn't come to pass. Well, it came to pass the moment that you heard it. The development, the maturity of that word may be yet to be seen because it has to manifest through you. You realize when God says, I will do, there's always something connected to I will do. He said to the nation that he led out of Egypt, he said, I will bless you. I will give you the land of inheritance that I promised to your fathers if you will keep my word. Now, a natural mind void of the understanding of the honor and the worship and how honored we are to worship God would say, okay, that's the weight, that's the heaviness, that's the I have to do. Religion can tell you that it's difficult, and when you begin to do right, how evil comes, and some boogeyman's going to try and steal your joy, and when you move forward, and all those things that are absolute lies. There's nothing in the word to reference that spirit or that attitude in God. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. 1,000 could fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes would you be aware of it, and behold, see it. Why? Because I've set my affections on him. Understand that when you've heard the word of God and you've had a conviction about the word of God, or the word of God challenges you as an individual, whatever it is, whatever status you consider yourself to be in, whatever kind of privilege or lack thereof, understand that you have just been honored by God Almighty. Not only Almighty, not only all-powerful, all-holy. In every way, holy. In every way, holy. committed to remain to the perfection that he is, because that's all that he is. And his way is perfect. We address God sometimes, or some people address God sometimes in a voice of anger, or an attitude of discontentment, or I don't understand why. But the moment that you hear the word of the Lord, you will be saved if you will believe that Jesus came to give you life. Everything that God says is connected to a if you. Do you know what that means? Why doesn't God just do it? Because you missed the Genesis part of your design. People like to throw everything over to God when they get frustrated and says, God's in control. Well, let's edit that just a little bit and be more accurate. God is in authority of all things, but he put you in charge in the earth. So when we say, why did God let this happen? Then we have to say to ourselves, why did man allow this to be? God says, we're going to create them and we're going to give them dominion. Old Testament, right? Over everything in the earth, all the earth. If they keep my word. New Testament. And you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. And you will have dominion in the earth. You'll bear witness to who I am. What an honor. Religion teaches you that we bear power so we can overcome the evil in the world. But the truth is Jesus overcame the evil that was in the world. The word says he came to destroy the works of sin. He came to destroy sin. He came to destroy he which had the power of death. And he did it because he said, it's done. I did it. It's finished. He is all authority, all power at all times. He's always God, and his ways as God are absolutely flawless. They're perfect. They're blameless. As a believer born into the nature of Christ, you have to understand these elementary principles of God so you can mature. And growth is a big deal. The moment you hear the word of the Lord, it has begun its work. God, by his word through the Holy Spirit, has now begun to court you into his kingdom. He has begun to draw you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, what it means to be saved. Why doesn't God just do it? He did. He made you and gave you his word. His word is all power. His word is yes, and in him it is amen, which means it's going to do what we just read. It is going to accomplish that which it was sent to do. If you will believe and doubt not in your heart. And again, it's that doubting part. I don't know if I have the faith that it takes to get me there. There is no measure of faith. When you hear the word of faith, you have the faith. The word is faith. The word is life. The word is the power of God. God said, I sent my word. And he said, and it will accomplish what I sent it to do. It will do it. It will fulfill what I sent it to do. But then the question is, they said, well, teach us to pray. How do we pray then? How is it that we pray? How is it that we walk in what you're talking about? How is it that we know that we're saying the right things, that we're thinking correctly, because your ways are higher than our ways? Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, just like heaven is higher than the earth. So how do we think this way correctly? How do we find this way to think and this way to pray? What words do we use? How do we come in? What teach us? Jesus said, well, the prayer is more of an understanding. He said, and this is the prayer. When you pray, pray your kingdom come, your will be done. There's your prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I would venture to say, if you're short on time, that would be a sufficient prayer if you meant it from your heart. Your kingdom come, your will be done. If you're running for your train or your plane, And that's the time you have to pray. You should have prayed before you got to the airport, because then you probably wouldn't be running after the plane or the train. But it's your kingdom come, your will be done. Why? Because the word of the Lord spoke it. And that's what he said. He said the prayer is really an understanding of who you are. The prayer is really understanding, I am here for your will to be done and your kingdom to come. And then they asked Jesus the other question. We've talked about this a lot. Then show us the kingdom. The religious people like to say, give us an understanding that we can wrap our natural senses of compromise around, our changing ideas, our changing emotions and feelings. Make them believe what you're saying is true. So show us the kingdom. Where is it? Or when will it come? And Jesus says, well, it's really not a when or a where. It's a who. Who is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God. It's the mind of God. So he said it like this. He said, the kingdom of God cannot come in a way that you are looking at it, that you're observing it, that you can say, oh, here it's coming. If the kingdom of God, if heaven literally dropped down in the earth, would you recognize it? I mean, if it just dropped out of heaven, would you recognize it? Would you know what it looks like? I mean, what would it look like? Well, the answer goes all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning, God made you in his image and in his likeness. And he said, take dominion over all the earth. And they asked Jesus then, where is it? If we can't find it, if we can't look for it, if we can't say, well, it's coming at this certain date or time, if we can't say, well, it's coming in this season, if we can't say, oh, we made it, we got there, we found it, then where is it? How do we look for something we don't even know where it is or when it is or what it is? How do we do that? I believe that was a good question, because it required an explanation, an answer. And God, in his great grace, was willing to give it to us. And Jesus said, look. You're looking for it, right? Look. Here it is. Imagine going, where? It is here. Look. The word behold. Look. Behold. It's right here. The kingdom of God is in you. Where else would God hide it? And he didn't hide it from you, he hid it for you. You ever find something that's precious or expensive or important or great sentimental value and you're like, I found it. You ever lose anything and you find it and you're more excited about finding it than you were when you had it, aren't you? And that's the truth. Interesting how we work. I lost my wallet the other day. I couldn't find it. I never appreciate my wallet anymore, ever, than when I can't find it. And when I do find it, I never appreciate it more at that moment that I'm holding it, because I found it. There's something within our DNA design of God that is just important. Jesus said, I would leave the 99 to find the one. And heaven will rejoice over that. I mean, heaven gets excited when Jesus finds something that was lost. Heaven just gets excited. There's something unique about finding something. That's the power. That's the future. Finding the kingdom on the inside. Not saying it religiously, but understanding what that means. What does finding the kingdom of God inside mean? Well, it means everything. It means that God himself will only be known through his body. No eye is seen. And if you read that in the original context, it is referring to the angelic beings as well. No eye is seen. No ear has heard. Not that they haven't seen him in the way that angels can see him, but listen. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So then the word says, but the angels are even excited about you, because at one point, someone said, what is this creation that you are so mindful of? What is he? And the Son of Man, these children, these people, that you visit him. I mean, you visit him. You come, you speak to him, you give him his word or your word. What is it that you are so mindful, that you're so considerate, and you care for them? You've made them a little lower than us, than the angels, and yet you you lead them, you guide them, you crown them with glory. You talk to them about who you are. What are they and why do you do that? And the word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't just mean you live forever. Eternal life means you understand who God is by the spirit of revelation. That life comes on the inside. How do you get eternal life? It can't just come at you. It can't come down to you. It can't be presented to you. Eternal life would do you no good at all. It would be without value to you if it wasn't demonstrated in you and through you. In order to experience eternal life, I have to live in it. It has to live in me. You have to live in it. It has to live in you. In order to experience the power of eternal life, it has to be something that's coming out of you. Every moment of the day, you breathe, you live, you're alive. In him we live, we move, we have our being. The kingdom of God will never be known until it's revealed through you, through his creation. That's the way God, that's why Jesus said, pray, have this understanding so you know where to look for it. Look for the kingdom of God that is within. For the kingdom of God is in you. Look. Do you understand him saying, look. Look. You ask me where to look. 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 You'll never know the power of the kingdom of God. You'll never know it until you exercise his will over yours. You'll never know the benefits and the glory and the power of his will until it eclipses yours. It's the only way. Because his will didn't come to abide with ours. His will came to overcome, to eclipse our will. And at that moment in time, I believe you can live forever. If the Spirit of God, I believe there's a generation that will live for I don't know how long with the Spirit of this revelation, if you'd actually get it in such a way that you just really got it. What happens when we go into the kingdom? What is the one thing? You say, well, you die, and you're right. But what dies? Well, your body. Yeah, but that's not really the thing. What dies so you can enter the presence of God? Your will. No longer care. Your will is unimportant. It's not valuable to you. Jesus said, you're going to follow me. He said, if you learn to lay down your life, you can follow me. Only the will of man stands between you and eternal life. You and blessing. You and peace. Just think about it. If you just didn't care about the things you worry about, if you just weren't the issue, you weren't the importance, and he was. How incredible. What would you know? What would you see? What would you do? Hear me prophesying. I'm prophesying the future generation to you. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. When our will dies, but we want the blessing of the Lord, and then when the blessing of God comes, the favor, God said to the children that he led out of Egypt, the children of Israel, he said, when I bless you, he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get so blessed, you're going to take your blessing, you're going to end up making other gods. You're going to fall away from me, and the life and the blessing and the favor that I promised you is going to be overcome by your will. There's a scripture that says, too much silver and too much gold and too many wives, Solomon, David, will mess you up. It will destroy you. Too much gold, too much silver, and too many wives. So it's good when God gives you an abundance that you just make an offering to the Lord. What did Jesus do? He was the fullness of the Father. And what did he do? He poured himself out. There wasn't any of the man Jesus left when he went to the cross. He poured it all out. And what did he say? Not I commit my body. He said, I commit my spirit into your hands. Because that's all remained. When you bring your body, yourself, you become the offering. All that you have, you pour yourself out before God. When you pour yourself out before God, and God comes and consumes it all, he receives it all. Everything's gone. One thing remains, God's favor. When the fire falls, favor remains. That's the power. Fire came and it consumed everything I had. God required everything I had so he could give me favor. And in favor is the old being made new. It's the will of God. It's the potter's clay. It's God taking and shaping it exactly in the way that pleases him. And when the favor of the Lord is there, everyone will be drawn to that favor. They will follow your faith because God has said it. The visions, the words of prophecy God has given you. I have some dear friends that tell me that they listen to the prophetic word every single night that they have received. Every night they go to bed and they listen to the prophetic word. When I hear that, all I think is beautiful. I just think of beautiful. The beauty of God's word, the beauty of his faith, the beauty of a surrendered vessel to God, the beauty of falling asleep to the word of the Lord and waking up with that on your mind. Feeding your soul. What are you doing? You're seeking the kingdom of God. When you pray, God, not my will, and you mean it, not say, God, not my will, your will be done, as long as it doesn't eclipse my will, as long as it doesn't overcome my will, as long as actually what I'm really praying, God, is that you would find favor in my will. Don't I have a good idea, God? Do you think you could bless that? But he said, if you really mean business with me, let me court you. Let me give you a word of faith. Let me court you into my courts. He will get you where he wants you to go. He will get you there. He will get you there. His will gets you there. He will get you there. How? His will gets you there. Wherever there is. Wherever God has called you to be. God wants us to take dominion over all the territories. All the vestibules. All the screens. The networks. The nations. With a voice that does what Jesus said. Pray the kingdom of God comes, that the kingdom of God would be revealed through you, through you. Pray this. Pray that the kingdom of God can be seen without observing it coming to you, but as the kingdom of God that is living within you. Pray this. Understand this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. There is no greater joy, no greater peace, no greater understanding, no greater acceptance, no greater honor, no greater favor, no greater resolve, no greater answer than to know I have laid down my will and I'm seeking yours. And the moment that I hear that word, even if it comes out of your own mouth, your kingdom come, your will be done, that word is active. It just took place. The revelation of God's will just came out of the kingdom of God that he placed on the inside of you. His will, his purpose, his way of doing who he is and what he does, because his ways are holy. His ways are perfect. The moment you hear the word, you're responsible for it. What an honor from God. You know what that means? You now have the power to take dominion. How do you do that? How do you take dominion over the earth? Will you keep his word? All right, what does his will do in you? Not for you. What does his will do in you? What does his word do in you? Religion teaches us what his word can do for us. How he can bless us. How he can pay our bills. How he can heal us. How he can make us happy. How he can give us great songs. How he can give us great messages. How he can do for me. But what is his will for? What does his word really do? What is his word really for? It's there to overcome your will. It's there to get the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb in the position of being the body of Christ. The real body. Not the religious gathering, but the body of Christ. We just love because we just do. If something frustrates you, you understand that. And you may say, well, it was a little hard for me to love that person because I knew they had just said some horrible things about me. Wonderful. You got to exercise the power of the will of the Father over your own. You know what that is? The kingdom of God. Man, I had every opportunity to be afraid, to worry. I thought my business was going down the tubes. I'm like, promise after promise after promise after promise, and nothing happens. That's the kingdom of man. That's the thoughts of man. That's doubt and uncertainty and unbelief. And Jesus said, Paul said, don't go there. He said, when you're swayed to and fro, and he said, and you hear everything, you hear people say this and you hear people say that, stop listening to bad news. Listen to good news. Stop listening to what some horrible thing someone went through. Well, I need to know so I can pray. You know, just pray for everybody. Just pray for the world. Don't pray for one. Pray for the nations of the earth. Because the moment you hear it, you start wondering if that's going to happen to you. The word says, shun every form of evil. If it looks bad, if it looks evil, what things soever are lovely, what things soever are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think about those things. Disconnect yourself from what is evil. How do you overcome evil? With good. Same principle, kingdom of God. So, when is it going to happen? Instead, in nothing I have everything, because that's how God created all that is. He started with nothing. Without anything that was made, he created everything that is. That's God. Wouldn't you like to know that kind of power? The kind of authority, the kind of power that woos the nations and all the wealth of the nations God will bring to you. How will he do that? Why would he do that? When you have become the favored of the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. He is not, but he loves good fruit. God enjoys good fruit. Jesus said, this is what God likes. This is what my Father likes. He likes good fruit. This is what makes him happy. This is what pleases God. That you bear good fruit. You bear much fruit. And that your fruit remains. You may have to stand for a minute, but that's the kingdom of God. Standing in the nothingness, standing in that moment of nothingness is what will draw people with conviction that you believe what you said, and they will empty their purses, their bank accounts, their pocketbooks into your ministry, into your vision, into your ministry, into your conviction, into your faith, because you've surrendered to the will of God. They did it before. They did it in the book of Acts. They just came and just dumped it all out. Why? Because the conviction of faith was so strong and so pure and so single-minded. It was all about the revealing of Christ in us, the revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to be hungry for this word to even mean anything to you. I've been in this a while. I've been hanging out here. I'm the planting of the Lord. But I've been believing, but maybe you've been believing right, but looking wrong. I've been believing that God was going to do something to me, but I don't see it. Well, where is what you're looking for? Jesus said it's in the kingdom of God. Seek it. Seek the kingdom of God, and then everything comes around. What is the kingdom of God? His will. A king's kingdom is his will. It's his mind. It's the way he thinks. You have to stop cursing the people you don't like and the people that have done you wrong. That's the kingdom of God. God's given you an opportunity to give him your strength. And you got to bless him. You have to come to a point where you say, I bless every single person in my life that has done me any wrong. I thank God for you. I praise him at all times for all things. No. Why? How would that possibly make any sense? I'll tell you how. If you don't know you're going in the right direction, you'll stop going. You'll look for a different way. If you are not convicted that you're going in the right direction, you'll stop looking in that direction and you'll turn and go the other way. We're looking for a restaurant the other day. My wife is the queen of directions. I am the king of misdirection. If you want to get lost, come. Go any place with me. It doesn't matter where it is. I can have GPS on, and it can't even get me there. People say, well, I got too dependent on GPS. It doesn't bother me any. I can get lost with or without it, no problem. So my wife will say, did you hear that? Hear what? She says this all the time to me. Share a little something. She says, it's right there on the screen. I'll say, what screen? And my eyes are supposed to be on the road. You want me to look at a screen? I have you. Why do I need GPS? But the other day, being yesterday, my beautiful sister is here with me today. I'm so thankful that she came to visit me, finally. But we were going to a little restaurant that we'd been to one time, and I said, I know how to get there. My wife has no faith in my directions whatsoever. I can tell her God says that the morning will turn into the night, and she would believe me. But if I tell her I know where to go, follow me, she's like, oh, no, that's so cute. Nah, no thank you. So yesterday we're walking, and it's a little bit of a walk. And I said, we're going to go down here, and we're going to go down that way, and that's where the restaurant is. She said, how could you possibly know that? I said, sweetheart, it's Italian food. Of course I know where it is. So we're going, and she stops, and she looks away, and she goes totally the opposite direction. I said, what are you doing? She said, I think it's over here. I said, sweetheart, trust me. I said those words. That was like saying, believe an ice cube won't melt in the oven. I said, trust me, regarding directions. Trust me. She says, honey, are you sure? I said, baby, I promise you, I'll take you right there. She still went that other way, and the elevator's over here. I said, we don't want the elevator. She said, well, it says it's on the fifth floor. I said, sweetheart, that's to the parking garage. That's not where we're going to eat. It's this way, trust me. They stay there waiting. They end up going to the bathroom. They're standing. I take off in the right direction. I just go there, and I stand there and wait. And I said, it's this way. So after she had exhausted all other avenues, she said, why not? So as we started making our way there it was. She said, oh, there it is. I said, can you believe that? You have to know that you know what direction you're going in. You have to know that. For all the Christians in all the world, now and forever, it's important to know that you know you're headed in the right direction in order to get there. Okay? Jesus said, I will lead you in the way you are to go. My steps, your steps, are ordered by me. So if someone did you wrong, that was part of the road to get you where you need to go, and you'll get there proficiently, accurately, promptly, on time, if you will keep that word. Now, if you blame people for the wrong they've done you, you're going to slow yourself down, and God will, in his greatness, he'll do what he said. He said, I will instruct you, and I will teach you, and I will counsel you in the way you should go. Now, you're going to have to be able to take that like big boys and girls and say yes and amen. Whatever you have come across in your life, you can use it to the greatness of your advantage if you will keep in mind and not be diminutive in the understanding that God is leading me. Make it as big as it is. Don't make it small. Don't disobey. Don't disbelieve. God is ordering your steps. The Lord will lead you in the way that you should go. I will teach, I will lead you, I will instruct you, I will teach you in the way you should go. My steps are ordered of the Lord. I've said this to my wife, to my family. I said, this word has changed my life now and forever. No matter what it is, I know my steps are ordered of God. And we'll say, well, God wants me to learn something. No, God wants you to become something that you're not realizing you are. He wants you to be so confident that you're on the path. Set your eyes like a flint and don't turn back. God has told you what to do. Do it. And don't turn back. Your faith will empower you to go in the direction you are to go. We are all God, not we are God. We are all about God. All that God is. All that God. I said to my wife, I said, anyone, any friends, any family, anyone that comes into our lives have to realize we're just all God. And she looked at me and I said, no, I'm not saying I'm God. I'm saying we are all about, there's nothing but God. It's all about God. Only God. There isn't anything else about us. It's all about God. But in that, it's because we seek the kingdom and everything else will come around. Everything. God says, don't you think I know what you have need of? I'm the one that created the order and balanced it perfectly. God likes you to get hungry so you enjoy the fruit. He likes you to feel like it's hidden so you'll seek and find it. But he wants you to know where to look. Anything that just drops out of heaven will not change your world, but whatever pours out of you will. The glory of God, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, is going to come from a people bearing witness to his spirit and his power. People that are convicted. You are supposed to prosper. Not a prosperity message. I'm just saying you're a vine and he's a branch. Or he's a vine, you're a branch, and you're supposed to bear fruit. Not just the spirit kind, but the every kind. The fruit of the blessing of the Lord. He wants you to take dominion over California. The state of California belongs to God, and he'll take dominion over it if the cowards will stand up and say, we are brave now. If the complainers will stand up and say, my God, he rules and reigns. California sits on the shoulders of my God. And we will make our statement boldly and stop being afraid that we might lose some position or some friends or some power. God will make your light shine. People will be drawn to your vision. They will pour out their resources towards you. They won't ask you to do business. They will ask you if you will receive their offering to support the vision of God. They will bring an offering before the altar of the Lord and put it in your hands and say, do with it as you will. But you have to believe that you know that your steps are ordered of God. That takes every bit of hatred and strife and bitterness and anger out of the equation. It makes broken things come back together. It unites things. Because there's no one to blame. Because this is the greatest season of your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for any good thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You didn't fall down. He wanted you to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. You didn't get stuck in the mud. God wanted you close to the water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, that guy or that gal or that sister or uncle or mother or sister, they did you right. They did you exactly right. They did you so good. They rubbed you the wrong way. You know, the only way to sharpen a blade is to rub it the wrong way. You have to sharpen a knife like you're trying to dull it. You know what makes the difference? The right angle of attack. If you dig into it and make the stone your enemy, you dull the knife. If you use it to hone your edge, you're sharp. That's what all things work together for good means. Everything in my life. But you have to know this one thing that will change your world forever. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Someone stole something from me. No, they didn't. You made an offering to God. Jesus made it real clear. He said, if they take it, give it to them. Give them your coat and your cloak. Give it to them. Why? So you can't be stolen from. Because one thing can go, and what do you say? I'll give you more. I'll double it. I'll return it to you. I'll increase you. But you can't do it if you think going in the wrong direction, because the direction that conflict in your life created was the path you were supposed to go down. What was that path? Forgiveness and love and knowing I'm still on the right track. My steps are still ordered of God. I delight in his way. If you don't, you have enemies hanging around your neck all the time. The weight of the world will bear you and weight you down. You'll be driven to your knees instead of driving yourself to your knees. See, the word of the Lord so clear, so powerful, so simple that a child could understand. But we don't want to keep the fullness of the word because we didn't like something. I don't like hanging around those people because they just don't make me feel good. But if God positions them in front of you, you better find out what God's saying about them, how God is relating that and connecting that to the path he has put you on. You need to know that your steps are ordered of the Lord. And once you do, life becomes incredible. The path becomes vividly clear. And God will pour out prophetic word on you like rain on a summer day. And the earth will yield its fruit, and God will be glorified. Yeah, but I've been doing this a long time. God, when Jesus made wine, you know what he made? He made old wine. He made old wine. You know where old wine comes from? Old vines. The word talks a great deal about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus, his first miracle was turning water into wine. What is it about wine and about grapes? Something pretty amazing. New grapes are kind of like a new generation of the religious. Hungry, but hungry to kind of, you know, just do something new. No, you should go back to the old vines. You know why? Old vines have more character than new vines. Grapes from old vines taste way better than grapes from new vines. New vines just want to get all the fruit that they can. They want to spring up as quick as possible. They don't have depth of root. The grapes don't have any character because the roots aren't deep enough for them to absorb the soil and the nutrients and all the just the variety of flavors that come from the soil that we are planted in. But if you hang out a while, keep casting your bread on the water. Old vines to a vineyard, old vines, a wine dresser, old vines are revered. They're honored. They consider them wise. Can you believe that? Because a young vine will just stand out there and just suck up all the water. And then if its drought comes, it doesn't have any more. And it needs all that. Old vines say, what if the day of no rain comes? Let's go find it. Let's go deep. When God's leading you in the way of faith, when God's giving you a word, he's giving you power to take dominion over the earth, over your will. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You start going deeper. You start digging. The word of the Lord in this generation that will move them is a word of revelation. Words about the kingdom of God. Not just words because a lot of people want to come together. The word of the Lord is like old grapevines in this generation, and that's where the wealth is. That's where the power is. That's where the prestige is. That's where the honor is. See, old grapes, old grapevines, they don't produce as much as young vines. Young vines are kind of like newborn Christians. They just want to go do everything. They just want to get as much going as they possibly can. And there's no real character in old vines. They go down deep. So if there's no rain, they stay alive. Their character is greater because they even know that when the shade comes, the heat comes, they know to grow bigger leaves to protect the vine. They don't produce as many little grapes or as many big grapes, but they produce little fine grapes that the vine dresser looks for because that's where the character is. In those little grapes that come from these mature vines that know how to go deep. So the character of the earth, and that's us. So the character of the kingdom. God gives you a word and he says, I want you to hold on and you're going to weather a storm because I want you to know you don't have to be afraid of the storm anymore. So when the storm comes and it's necessary for it to come, you're the ship out in the middle of the storm. You're the saving ship. You're the one that I've sent. You're the one that people will be drawn to because they will see the influence, the power, the age of wisdom and understanding. And you can be very young and have this same wisdom because you're going deep. It's not happening right now. No, but you have to understand, my steps are ordered of the Lord, number one. Number two, the moment that you hear a word from God, you are responsible for that word, number two. Number three is that word has to be manifest through you. It can't happen to you because it's just like finding the kingdom somewhere. You'll never find it if it dropped out of heaven. You wouldn't know it. You'd walk right past it looking for something else. You'd go towards the elevators instead of towards the restaurant that you're looking for. You have to know. My conviction is my steps are ordered of God. God can give you anything. He can give you the wealth of nations. He can give you $1,000, $100,000, a million, 100 million. But it's never about the money. It's about the vision. He can give you 7.2, and he'll do it when your conviction is so strong, so strongly rooted in the kingdom of God. And God, what you sent and what you called and what you prophesied to me, I will walk in the fullness of it, and I will do it when and where and how you began it. I will do it exactly as you have said, because my faith determines I'm going in to inherit the land that is an inheritance to me. That's your word. That's your word. Hear the word. God says, when your conviction is, I'm just so excited about hearing the word of God and finding the character in that word, just like an old grapevine. They're revered by the vine dresser, by the grower. They are revered by the winemakers. That's what they look for. Look for the little grapes and the old vines with the leaves that cover, that aren't just thirsty to just suck it all up, but they're interested in going deep. If you will, the deep calls to the deep. Look for the things that God is saying. I'm standing in faith because God is building the character of my roots. He's teaching me how to think like God. What's happening? The kingdom of God is being revealed in you. I'm thinking like God. I should be angry. I was mistreated. I was spoken illy against. I was stolen from. No, you weren't. You were led down the path of forgiveness, restoration, redemption, love, kindness, giving, so God could give the increase that is beyond you. God doesn't want you going through the script of the world and trying to figure out what's going to please them and make them pour into the theaters of your play, of your scene, of your life. He wants you to pour your life out before him so people can come in and see the revelation of who God is in your life. And the power of this generation, the power of media, the power of movies, hear the word of the Lord, is going to be by people who by conviction, not taking polls, not seeing if this is popular, but pouring out a conviction, because people won't know it to be popular because they haven't seen it in this way. And it will draw millions, and the word of the Lord will go out, and while people are sitting, relaxing, eating popcorn, on a date with their family, they will become transformed by the word of God. And God will show and bear witness to the nations that the power of joy and blessing and favor and fullness and satisfaction is in the revelation of the word. They will be captivated in such a way they will stagger out of theaters as though they were drunk. And they will be drunk on old wine. You've saved the best for last, he said. Here we are. We are the latter generation. You know that, right? You are the old vines. You know that, right? You've been believing for a while. You know that, right? You've gone deep. You know that, right? And what God is doing is changing your mind so you can James it. I'm counting it joy when I enter into the trying of my faith, because I know now where I'm going. I'm not swayed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but I'm standing strong in the revelation of the word of God to me, and I'm bearing much fruit. And my fruit remains. It means it stays forever. It will never go back. It will never go away. And God will change the order of all those that stand around you and bring in those, a handful of those that stand strong with you, Matt Crouch, Lori Crouch, in faith, saying the word of the Lord has spoken it. The last thing on your minds will be how to fund what God has given you to do. The first thing on your mind will be, what is God saying about it? Let the word of the Lord come to life through your anointing. Let prophecy live through you. Let the nations see that there is a prophet in the land, that the word of the Lord is strong, that there are believers that hear the word, that there are kings in kingship that hear the voice of God and command the Spirit of the Lord from the seven winds of heaven and from the four corners of the earth to speak the will of the Father, to speak the will of the kingdom. They will be captivated by revelation because it will have the power to transform and change, to overcome their will and surrender to his. And when this takes place, they will find their peace. How much is that worth? How much will someone give into their peace? How much will someone give to obtain perfect peace, to hold to perfect peace. And through it, divisions that have not even developed, are not even on the drawing board, that are not in the minds of individuals, will come to life. And places you would not even have thought would call on your services will call on your services and will say, we need you here because you do it differently. You do it better. We've not seen it this way. Why? Because the kingdom of God is manifest through you, and they will be drawn to the lavishness of your faith. Our increase isn't because we want it. It's because we want Him so much. Just to know Him so much. I pray continually for the word of spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you may know Him better, that you may know Him more. Don't have server mentality, server faith. You ever gone to a restaurant, had really great service? Something's upside down, something's wrong, something's not right. I'm so sorry, let me take care of that for you. Anyone ever been to those kind? Here's the other side. You sit down at your table. You're with your family. Yes, I'm speaking about an experience recently. And the server comes. And you say, hi. And they say, can I help you? Yeah. Okay, we'd like to. Can we have? Sure. And they walk away. They're like, huh, that didn't feel warm and fuzzy, but that's okay. And then they bring your food and they serve you and you say, thank you. And they, no problem. I have a pet peeve with that word. I'm telling you here and now. Of course it's not a problem. Why would it be a problem? Did you mean you're most welcome? Or absolutely, or my pleasure. I think that's what you meant. You got lost. That's all right. And then they bring your food. They bring your meal, and you're starving out of your mind because you haven't eaten all day. You've had your shake, which is gone in no time after you've run for 2 miles and you've worked out really hard. So you're like, yeah, I can do this now because it's low carb anyway. And they bring your chicken dish, and you cut into it, and you're sure that they cut up, put in the oven a rubber chicken. And you sawing away and going, oh, it's going to taste better than it feels under the knife. And you put it in your mouth, and it's just like chewing gristle. And so, you know, you try anyway, and your wife says something like, honey, you want to get something else? And I said, I don't think so. I'm not here. Not with this incredible, genuinely kind service that we're getting and this sumptuous meal that was set before me. And so then the server comes and sees that your plate is full and says, you didn't like it? It was really tough. It was pretty much unedible. It just was. So you want to send it back? Now there's an idea. And then I loved when it was, you didn't like it? And that's what I didn't say I didn't like it, but that's a good word for I can't eat it. So yes, I guess you could say I didn't like it. So do you want to order something else? No, everybody's finished eating. I'm ready to go right now. I'll just take the check, please. No, I'm sorry. Just gone, okay? Come back to the table, and then you get this attitude. Here's your check. No hurry. It was so nice having you here today. Come back and see us soon. Are you saying, give me a good tip? Are you asking for something? What you're saying is, I'm not here because I'm genuinely here. I'm here because I need the money. And I get working because you need money. I get that. But where's the heart of a server? Where's the heart of a servant of God? Are you really there to just get the tip from God? Are you there because you're there to serve? You're in your office. You're in the position that you've been chosen to be in, and whether it seems like a great position of honor or a humble position, you know, the places of humility are the places of great power because it overcomes your will and it makes you a servant to the will of the Word of God. And that's where power and dominion comes from. Don't be one of those. God, why not? Why not? This and that and that. And then something, it's time for you to get tipped. Or something, Lord, I just want to thank and praise you for your goodness, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank God. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Yeah. Well, 2 days later, you were telling God how he doesn't listen to you. And you don't know why you're having to go. So come on. Don't be a poor server. Don't just thank God when it's time for the tip. When it's time to get something from the Lord. Do it because it's in your heart. Do it because it's what you do. Do it with all your heart. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, and do it as unto the Lord. That's who you are. You have to know the direction you're going in. What is that? My steps are ordered of the Lord. I can't miss not one time. You won't lose a thing. Nothing will go away unless you decide to give it away. For the blessing and the favor of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. The Lord's bringing people and bringing you to people. We like people to come to us, don't we? Just come to me, bless me, tell me how great I look, tell me how great I'm doing, just come to me. God sends wonderful people to you sometimes to go, oh, really, you thought that was a good idea to wear that? And you go, that was sent from the devil. No, that was sent from God. If it was sent from the devil, they'd have said something like, oh, don't you look just so beautiful? Oh my gosh, you're just stunning. And they would have pumped your ego up, made you feel good. That would be the devil. God would say, huh, you really think you look good in that? Shouldn't you have tried a little harder? It is Sunday, you know. In other words, the edge of the blade determines the value of the blade. And it's not about how hard the stone is. The harder the stone, the better. But it really is about the angle of approach. Approach God with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, I honor you. I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for all you've done. The Lord will feed the vision. That's what God will feed. The vision of faith. The Lord will feed the vision of revelation. The Lord will feed the vision of impossible. That's what God will feed, and you will not be hungry. I've been young, I've been old. I yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God is giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This is the greatest season of your life. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want any good thing. We're coming into the fall months. And the blessing of the Lord is going to fall on you. When it looks like the leaves are turning and they're falling, listen. God is speaking from on high. Listen to what God is saying. This is the season that is calling for the season of new fruit. This is that time. This is that day. This is that order. This is that hour. You'll lack nothing. You'll want for nothing. And the weight of how to pay and how to do, God will remove from you. He said, if you seek my kingdom, all these things will be added to you. Come before me, bring an offering, worship me, God said. The offering you are is the offering God wants. That's the one he will receive. He likes your fruit. He likes the fruit of the Spirit. He likes the fruit of his word in you. This is not a time of backing away or compromising. This is a time to press forward. And then God will clear away those that stand around you, half faith and half doubt. And he will unite with you those that say, it is one spirit and one mind and one hope. This is the vision. You're not going to say, I wonder if I am young enough to do it. I wonder if I have enough resources. I wonder if I've been good enough. You'll say, this is what God has said, and the Lord will do it. And the weight and the burden of having to finance your vision and your future will disappear, and God will pour into you and through you all the resources necessary to do what he wants you to do. And you will love it.
you will enjoy it, you will praise Him for it, and the burden and the weight will be lifted from you. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. There's no weight here. You'll find rest to your soul and great produce. For the Lord is faithful and abundant in all His ways. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give God praise this morning. I want to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pull on heaven. We are going to pull on heaven. Father, in this company of people and those that are viewing, I give you praise with great honor that you would even allow me to do so, that you would allow and accept the praises of my lips. God, I thank you that I know to call on you, that we know to praise you, that we get to come together and worship you, lift our hands and shout yes and amen and praise to our God. What an honor that you would even hear and receive. Even Cain knew the importance of you receiving his offering. Let us not fall below that, God. Let us not fall below the spirit of Caleb. Let us, or Cain, at least understand and have the spirit of Caleb. God has said, the word of the Lord is, and this is what we will do, and the Lord will do great and wondrous things. For his ways are perfect, and he is a great and mighty God. And there is none beside him, none before him. There is no other God. He is perfect in holiness. We pull upon the heavens of God that the health that abides in the kingdom of God would be manifest in your bodies today. Do you hear me? Let the deaf hear. Let the dumb speak. Let the lame walk. Let those with ailments be renewed in the kingdom of God that dwells within you. Let the kingdom of God be manifest through you today. Let the unity of the kingdom of God be manifest in your home. Let the unity of the kingdom of God be manifest in your mind. In all that you have heard and seen, don't say, this is a hard thing for me. That's the voice of rebellion. Say of the Lord, how easy is it for me to love, to forgive, to bless? Because the Lord has done it in me. For his kingdom, his will has eclipsed my will. And I see the glory of his light, the surrender of my spirit to God. Let youth from the kingdom run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You've waited upon the Lord, you strong vines of honor. And the Lord has renewed you and made your fruit gracious and glorious and filled your vines with wisdom and understanding. You will remain. And people will be drawn to you because you have made your roots deep. For the Lord is all authority and all power, but he has put you in charge. He has given you dominion by his word and by his spirit according to his will. We pull upon the heavens of God and release and unlock that door right now of the kingdom of God. We unlock health. We unlock strength. We unlock youth. We unlock the healing presence, the soundness that dwells within the kingdom of God. We release it now. Every foreign voice of doubt and unbelief is banned and forbidden in this kingdom. Only the light of God's Spirit is allowed to dwell within this kingdom. No taunting thoughts will haunt you. No spirit of anxiety will overwhelm you. For the kingdom of God is at hand. We put upon the kingdom of God and of our Christ, his Christ, our Savior. and we declare the blessing of the Lord that resides within the kingdom. That there is no lack, I shall not want, that dwells within the kingdom of God. We pull upon the heavens of God. We call it down. We release from the kingdom of God soundness of body, mind, and spirit. We celebrate, we worship. We throw a feast of our faith. And the poor and the lame and the kings, the leaders, the wealthy, the poor, the humble, the proud are invited. And when they see the opulence of your faith and feel the grace of the Spirit of the kingdom of God that abides in you, they will feel welcomed. They will leave their gifts at your door. They'll say, "We didn't even feel worthy to bring them in. We make this an offering to the Lord God because we seek His kingdom within. So we leave them at the door without." And as the Lord said, He will say, "Come and gather." And by His angels and by His spirits, He will gather the precious fruit. He will gather the treasures of the earth and the wealth of the unrighteous. And God will be glorified in it. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells in it. And Father, for it we give You praise. We open the door of the kingdom of God and of His Christ. We declare the favor of God be poured out. People will chase Your favor because they have found Your faith. And they will be willing to serve in any way possible. Not of compromise, not by force, not by exchange, but in thankfulness. In thankfulness for the freedom they have found and the revelation that they have known and had the opportunity to know Him better and to know Him more. And it is because of the faith of the kingdom of God that dwells in you and the vision God has given you to believe in. Not of might or power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And everybody shouts in the house. Whatever it is, whatever you're looking for, God will exceed and supersede what you need and what you want. This is a word from the kingdom of God. This is a word from the mouth of the Lord. God has spoken it. Know that this is the greatest season of your life. You are chosen of God. The favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. No doubt it's true. And all you have to do is just stop and worship Him.